Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm Jay King from MassLive.com. I'm here with Sam Packard from WEEI. And we're one day into the Celtics practice sessions. One day into their training camp. Today we're going to be talking about a lot of things, from Jaylen Brown's first practice, which he arrived to 3 or 4 hours early.
Allegedly.
A little harder, man. Allegedly showed up to 3 or 4 hours early and studied on an iPad for a while. We are going to talk about Al Horford, who said that Amir Johnson was in the same lineup with him quite frequently, which might be the first hint about who will be the fifth starter, but maybe not, who knows. And we're going to talk about some stuff from True Hoop TV podcast. And they threw a little shade at the Celtics, so we'll discuss that a bit later, too. Before we get into anything, search for Locked On Celtics podcast, subscribe to us, leave us a 5-star rating, do whatever you got to do. This is actually our second time recording this damn podcast mostly because I'm an idiot and I did not have enough space on my computer to record a Skype call. So here we are. Sam is now walking home.
Coming to you live from the streets of West Philadelphia.
West Philadelphia, not born and raised, on the playground is where he spent most of his days.
It'd be weird if I spent all my time on the playground right now as a grown man, but yes, I concur. West Philadelphia, the only thing you guys would really miss from the first recording is me bringing up a hypothetical scenario where Kevin Durant hit Riley Curry with his car. So that's the only thing you're going to miss.
But only minor injuries. Only minor injuries. Oh, that was a key part of it.
Yeah, only minor injuries. This is just an event that would cause strife in the Warriors locker room. So just imagine that I said that, and now I said it again. So pretty much listening to the first podcast.
Yeah, and it sounds even weirder when it's out of context, I think. Maybe not. Maybe it was just as strange in context. But basically, he was trying to think of a scenario in which Kevin Durant would become available on the trade market. And yes, that might qualify as a possibility. Who knows? Anyway, one guy the Celtics do not have to trade for because they already have him is Jaylen Brown. We've got some weird noise coming from Sam's walk home in West Philadelphia. But
that's the
anyway, Jaylen Brown's first practice. He showed up 3 or 4 hours late. So my question to you, Sam, how early would you show up to your first NBA practice?
Probably 15, 20 minutes early. I don't know. Make sure. Get a nice parking spot.
You'd be traded by midseason, man.
Probably, but 4 hours is I understand showing up a little early and just making sure you're there on time, you're prepared. But showing up 4 hours is it's suspect. I don't know what's going on there, and I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. It kind of creeps me out. If I was another rookie on the team, if I'm Demetrius Jackson, he's making me look bad. And so, what are you doing, Jaylen Brown? What's going on here? He said he was looking at the sets on his iPad, right?
Yeah, he was going through sets on his iPad to get up to snuff on all the things that the Celtics were going to do in practice. That's an admirable thing, Sam. How are you going to hate on that?
You can do that at home, Jaylen Brown. You don't have Wi-Fi. Why you got to be at the facility? Now you're probably making some assistant coach come in super early just to let you in. It's an awkward situation for everyone. It's just I rubs me the wrong way, Jaylen Brown.
That is a crazy take. This guy, he showed up 3 or 4 hours. He couldn't sleep on the night of his first NBA practice. and he wanted to get to the facility and study all the things he would be doing at practice. I don't get what's wrong with that. I will say this about Jaylen Brown. He is saying all the right things. I don't know what he'll give to the Celtics this year. I don't know what his career will be like. But he came in on the first day, his first press conference after getting drafted, and he said he wanted to rip someone's head off. And he said that it's not enough to be a top three player from this draft. He wants to be one of the top three players in the league. And now here he is, day one of practice, and he says, you know what? Practice started at 10 a.m. today. I got here at 6 or 7 a.m. And I picture him like in his sleeping bag outside the door of the facility, just hanging out, like catching a few extra winks. I'm not convinced he actually went home last night. I'm pretty sure he slept in the facility and doesn't want anyone to know about it. We got some more weird noise from Packard over here, but he wants to hate on Jaylen Brown some more.
Adjusting to life in the NBA as a rookie is just adjusting to life in general. He's, what, 19 years old? He needs to know how to properly allocate time and his schedule. And if he's just going to be showing up 4 hours early to everything, that doesn't seem like an efficient use of his time. And how is he going to grow if he's just wasting 4 hours before every single appointment he has to show up to?
You are a brutal, brutal man. Let the man... That's not wasting time. He's going in his iPad. Who knows? What if he was out there on the court shooting? What if he was practicing his 3-point shot from the corner so that he's making the Celtics better? Anyway, one guy who already has extended his range to the 3-point arc, Al Horford. Al Horford said today, and this was probably the most interesting thing he said. It was also his first practice. One thing he said was that the pace was a little faster than he was used to with the Atlanta Hawks. And I think he meant just that the practice moved along swiftly and Brad Stevens went from one drill to the next and things kind of just flowed. I don't know if we want to talk about that. Probably we don't want to talk about that. It's not really anything you can discuss, but it was an interesting thing to me that was the biggest difference to him through one practice. Granted, it's just one practice. But he... The most newsworthy thing he said, I thought, was that he played a lot alongside Amir Johnson in the first practice. And that's interesting because the fifth starting spot, I think, is still up for grabs. And it could be Kelly Olynyk, I guess Jonas Jerebko. At least he wants to be a candidate. He said on Media Day he would like to start. And I love.
Jonas needs to come out and take what's his. Because he was underappreciated all last year. So I appreciate the fire coming from the hot suite to begin the year.
He was definitely underappreciated last year. I've said this before. It's like his every year for him goes the exact same.
He's trying to change that.
Doesn't play a lot. Yeah, he's trying to flip the script. He's trying to get that starting spot, which normally only comes to him in the playoffs. He's trying to get it right away. And he did say like it whatever role he gets, he'll take it and he'll be happy. But he definitely did say he wanted to start, and that would be. Who knows? Kelly Olynyk's hurt right now. He won't be cleared for contact until at least the middle of October, which will only leave him with a couple of weeks to get ready for the Celtics' first game. So right now, Amir Johnson has to be the front runner to start on opening night. And we've talked about this. I think you're in favor of having more shooting in the starting five rather than Amir and Al Horford together?
Yeah, if everyone's healthy, I would probably start Olynyk at the four. I just really like the idea of having a shooter surrounding Isaiah Thomas and just giving him that much more space to create. I also like the idea of kind of staggering your best low post defender or best rim protector so you have a legitimate five out there for basically all 48 minutes. One of the problems I could potentially see with starting both Horford and Johnson is kind of how do they deal with kind of a small ball lineup? Like a team like Toronto might start Damari Carroll at the four. I'm not really going to trust Al Horford to guard Carroll out on the perimeter.
Yeah, but for traditional-ish big guys, Horford and Amir Johnson both do a pretty good job sliding their feet. And Johnson started alongside Jared Sullinger last year. So whenever they played a team with a quicker four, it was Johnson guarding him. And he normally did a pretty good job. He does a little bit of switching. He can stay in front of guards a little bit. He's very quick on rotations, very smart with how he does it. And Horford's kind of the same way. So I think Horford kind of gives you the versatility to go whatever way you want with that four spot.
But if you start Amir Johnson, what are you going to do kind of with your backup big rotation? Is that kind of force Tyler Zeller into the lineup a lot more? It feels like you probably, because you're going to play players like Jay Crowder and maybe Jaylen Brown at the four, you're going to want to like kind of keep your 5 minutes kind of separated. It feels like you have more, roster depth in the three kind of four area. So it wouldn't make sense to me to kind of waste your two fives at the same time.
To me, if you do think that Horford and Johnson are your two best players, then maybe you start them and you take out Johnson quickly and you bring him and he comes back in and plays mostly second unit minutes and you split up those guys. Because I do think, and I've said this many times on this podcast, I'm with you. I think Kelly Olynyk, if he's healthy, should start just because for the spacing to always have that shooting for the more skilled lineups that have been so effective since Steven started coaching. I think you want to do that. I do think if you think Johnson and Horford are your two best big men, and that it's very possible that they are. Olynyk might be up there with Johnson. Horford's obviously their number one guy. If you think those guys are your two best, then, yeah, you can start them both, play them a few minutes together at the beginning of each half, and then stagger the rest of their minutes so that, you know, Horford plays 32 minutes-ish, and Johnson plays 24-ish or whatever the case. And then you get Kelly Olynyk and Jonas Jerebko splitting the 4 minutes. And maybe Jaylen Brown gets a few of those. Jay Crowder obviously gets a few of those. And Tyler Zeller, sorry, man, I don't think you're going to play too much. But, yeah, so there are ways to stagger that even if you start both of them, I think. And I do think there's a lot of merit to having one of those guys on the court at all times surrounded by a lot of shooters.
One of the arguments for Amir Johnson playing with the starters is that he was most effective, at least offensively, playing in the pick and roll with Isaiah Thomas. And that's not to say he couldn't be effective playing in the pick and roll with the Terry Rozier or Marcus Smart coming on off the bench. But it's just one argument to say maybe that's when you get the most out of Amir Johnson, is when he's playing with better players. But I don't know. I would favor starting Kelly Olynyk, but I think it's the type of thing where Brad Stevens is going to experiment with a lot of issues. Because last season, David Lee and Tyler Zeller were your opening night starters.
And like the first season, Vitor Favorani was in the starting lineup. And I think Gerald Wallace might have started on opening night too. Like the opening night starting lineups have been not at all indicative of what the final starting lineups have been. And part of that obviously is trade and roster overall. But part of it is, like you said, Stevens just does a lot of experimenting early on. And he finds out what lineups work. And then towards the All-Star break around then, he goes to those lineups and he goes to them more often. And that they've kind of taken off the last 2 years at the All-Star break. And obviously 2 years ago, Isaiah Thomas came and that was a huge deal. But last year they were around 500 at the All-Star break, and then they went to smaller lineups and they kind of took off. So I think Stevens does definitely do some experimenting early in the season. I think he'll go big, he'll go small. I think he'll try it all, see what works, and ultimately settle on whatever works the best. He knows the stats, he knows the numbers, and by the end of every season, he's normally been very good at playing the right guys together. So right now it looks like Amir Johnson and Al Horford are going to be your starting from the right, and we'll see how long that lasts. We'll see how it works. It'll work. I have no doubt it'll work. I just don't know if it's the best for their team. And maybe you need more shooting. Maybe they need Kelly Olynyk to maximize Isaiah Thomas and to maximize the offense, which is really what you need to maximize. True Hoop TV. I didn't listen to this. You told me about this, that on the True Hoop TV podcast, they kind of threw a little shade at Isaiah Thomas. So please explain to us what was said and the, I guess, the comments and what's going on. What beef do they have with Isaiah Thomas, man?
Well, we may be picking at what's the saying? Picking at straws, picking at hairs here. I don't know. We may be kind of making
nits, man. We're nitpicking.
Nitpicking. There you go. So they're doing their Atlantic Division preview, and
he's an Ivy Leaguer. This is an Ivy Leaguer picking at straws over here.
That's exactly what's going on. I just walked off campus, and I'm flustered. I'm not sure what's going on. So on True Hoop TV, they're doing their Atlantic Division preview, and everyone on the panel, it was Amin Elhassan, Ethan Strauss, Kevin Pelton. They picked the Celtics to win the Atlantic Division.
A lot of very bright guys. A lot of very bright guys. We'll say that.
Smart guys whose basketball opinions I respect. But then they got on the topic of Isaiah Thomas, and they started talking about how, I don't think it's too much of a stretch, they started talking about how you're not going to be able to win a championship if Isaiah Thomas is the best player on your roster. And because of that, Isaiah Thomas is the kind of the all-star in the league who's most likely to be traded. And to me, that kind of flabbergasted me, because after all the things we've seen Isaiah Thomas do in a Boston Celtics uniform, as well as outside of a Boston Celtics uniform, kind of ingratiating himself with the community and basically doing everything in his power to become the best Boston Celtic he can be, the idea that Danny Ainge would trade him right now made little to no sense to me. And I was just kind of shocked to hear, like, that was their biggest takeaway or their main point when talking about the Boston Celtics this year.
Well, here's the thing. Danny Ainge traded Paul Pierce, man. He is not going to hesitate to trade Isaiah Thomas if it will help the Celtics.
Totally different circumstances. That's when a team was clearly over the hill. This team seems is on an upward trajectory, and he's a core player.
Yeah, I will say this. The beautiful thing about the roster they've put together is that they have all these young guys, and they have all this talent, and they have two all-stars, Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford. They have Jay Crowder, who was borderline all-star last year. They have young guys like Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown with upside, who knows, Terry Rozier, another guy with certainly upside to grow into. You have all these guys. You have all these pieces. And you have opportunities to add to that without taking away from it. So, to me, if you're going to go for a trade, you're going to try to trade the Nets pick from next year. Or you're going to try to trade Jaylen Brown while nobody really knows what he is. Or you're going to try to trade Marcus Smart before he blossoms into whatever he's going to become. And to me, you don't touch the core because you want to add to this core. This core won 48 games last year, just picked up Al Horford, and should win 50-plus this year. This core is really good, and you have those opportunities, whether it's keeping the draft pick from Brooklyn or going out and using that cap space next season when they'll have maximum cap space. To me, it's not out of the question to trade Isaiah Thomas. Obviously, it's possible. The Celtics, if the right deal comes along, sure. But one misperception I think is out there is that Isaiah Thomas needs to be a ball-dominant point guard. Some of his greatest moments with the Celtics have been when Brad Stevens moved him off ball. And he's a great spot-up shooter. He can come off screens and shoot. He is very good at getting to the paint when after a ball reversal, when he catches it on the other side. He's not just this ball-dominant guy. Obviously, you know, he's their point guard. He the ball is in his hands a lot. But he can also play with other great players. And I think his efficiency would go up. I think people would see that he doesn't need to be that guy who's pounding the ball into the hoop. I think that perception is out there because he started his career in the dysfunction of Sacramento, and then he went to Phoenix where there were just way too many point guards for anyone to live. And in Boston, obviously, like, the situation's been great for him, but I think he can be that player and just do it more efficiently if he has better players. I think if guys were creating easy shots for him, he's a great shooter. Like, he can do a lot of other things besides just try to break a defense down off the bounce.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because he gets this image of this ball-dominant player, mostly because that's what the Celtics needed him to do last year, is especially in crunch time, is that Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley, they're decent players and they can make some open shots, but they're not creating offense for you. Isaiah was the straw that stirs the drink, so of course he's going to be the most ball-dominant player in the offense. So, and I was also trying to think of, like, so their metric was all-stars most likely to be traded. I just couldn't think of one, a trade that would make sense at all for the Celtics in which Isaiah would be included. There doesn't really seem to be anyone out there, and if you're going to trade Isaiah, you're going to, one, need to come on with another point guard, and I would say he's probably, like, what, a top five, maybe top 10 point guard in the league right now. So who are you going to replace him with? And then you're also going to have to trade other members of your core if you're going after someone who's like a superstar. It really didn't make any sense to me. I can see – well, let me ask you this. What other all-stars do you see like potentially being traded who are more likely than Isaiah Thomas traded?
I mean, the normal candidates, you could go with DeMarcus Cousins because that's always a volatile situation over there. You could go with Jimmy Butler just because – The Bulls have clearly been open to trading him, and
the Bulls could be a colossal failure. Yeah,
I think does Carmelo Anthony count? Could because Carmelo could get traded. Why wouldn't you trade Carmelo, man? Although the Knicks are weird. So many teams are just so damn weird. Who else is all star caliber? So yeah, I wouldn't put Isaiah Thomas. Certainly wouldn't put him number one. I will say this. The Celtics are in a place where they do want to make moves, but to me, you don't move your core. You try to do it without impacting your core, and I think that's why the Celtics haven't made a move yet. It's because when they tried to, teams were asking for Jay Crowder, or they were asking for another guy who was part of their nucleus, and you don't want to give that away if you don't have to. Right now, they're a good team, close to being great, and they're one move away from being great, and they have other assets to try to go out and get that move without it impacting the current roster.
Yeah, it was kind of confusing that was like the True Hoop TV guys' first point or first thing they were focused on. They brought up Horford, they brought up Marcus Smart, they brought up Brad Stevens, but this was kind of at least my biggest takeaway in which they're doing an Atlantic preview. They didn't even mention Avery Bradley or Jay Crowder's name or Jaylen Brown. It seems like an odd kind of focus, and I was wondering, is that just the national perspective on Isaiah Thomas, is that he's this shorter guy who you're not going to be able to build around? So I thought, it was just a curious thing, and I encourage you guys that after you've done listening to Locked On Celtics podcast and after you subscribe and given us a 5-star rating, check out the True Hoop TV episode preview of the Atlantic Division and just tell us your reactions. Use the hashtag Rainy Jays. I just thought it was interesting to get a national perspective of the Celtics, kind of take one step back.
That was a nice plug there. I guess we'll end it there. Honestly, guys, we recorded probably the greatest podcast ever, and it will never be heard because it didn't properly record. It was a devastating, devastating hit. It's so tough to try to talk about the same topics and try to regurgitate the same conversation you just had. So we try to pull it together. We did our best.
I would say my takes were like 50% hotter in this version just because we already had this conversation, so I needed to keep it fresh.
Yeah,
have these strong feelings about Jaylen Brown showing up 4 hours early, but like we just talked about that, so I needed to come with the fire.
You came a little hot on Jaylen Brown. Poor Jaylen Brown, man. All he wanted to do was show up a little early on the first day, and now he's got Sam Packard all over his ass. So you're going to have to apologize next time. But it's okay. You know, it was tough. It was tough to record a podcast twice. And that one is going to really, really be well-received in podcast heaven, I'm sure. So shout-outs to the Lost Podcast. And shout-outs to the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Celtics, Locked On Podcast Network.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.